Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We celebrate the Feast of the Ascension. Instead of today, we'll celebrate it Sunday, and I will deal with those readings tomorrow. But today we look at Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. So the persecutions continue now. He went to visit them, and because he practiced the same trade, stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. So here's Paul, who's a tent maker as well. Every Sabbath, he entered into discussions in the synagogue, attempting to convince both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began to occupy himself totally with preaching the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. When they opposed him and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am clear of responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Paul told it exactly as it was. He was occupying himself totally with preaching the word and testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And they opposed him, and they reviled him, and he shook out his garments, a sign that he was dismissing them, and that he was moving away from them. He said, "Your blood be on your heads. I am clear of responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So he left there and went to a house belonging to a man, Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next to a synagogue, and Crispus, the synagogue official, came to believe in the Lord, along with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians who heard believed and were baptized. I read all that material twice, and I did it on purpose. Because, brothers and sisters, so often, when we meet with opposition, we quit. We quit. We don't want to offend. We don't want to, and of course we don't want to offend, but if people are just angry, sometimes they're angry because they're fearful. Sometimes they're angry because they're down on themselves for the mistakes they made. And if we're kind and we say, "I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt you, all I wanted to do was help." And sometimes we can work our way through that so that a person is more open to hear us. That's possible. In this case, Paul knew that the only thing he could do, because they opposed him, they reviled him. So they were really angry. They were vicious, is the word I give it. And so he said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am clear of responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. I've tried. I've done my best. And I will go to the Gentiles." So he left there. And what happens is he reaches the Gentiles. And it says in the very end, many of the Corinthians who heard believed and were baptized. What if Paul had just stomped out of there? What if Paul had turned away? What if Paul had just gotten angry and irritable? Or what if he had gotten very depressed? What if any of those things had happened to him? Where would we be today without the preaching and the teaching, the letters of Paul? Where would we be? Psalm 98, "The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power." And he has. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. Religion always causes trouble. I'm just out of here. How often do we meet that? Or we try to share something of the gospel and we're laughed at, mocked, ridiculed. Sometimes that's harder. But in some one way or another, people let us know they think we're an idiot for sharing what we're sharing, a fool, And they just laugh at us or get very angry and try to go after us. The early apostles endured all of that, and they never gave up. So what we need, brothers and sisters, is more courage. We need wisdom, but we also need more courage. And we need to get clear. We can't try to take a middle road. We can't try to hide. We need to face the fact that I am baptized. I am a Christian. I belong to God. God has given me life and given me gifts so that I may return to Him, bearing the fruit of those gifts for the salvation of the world. That's why I'm here, ultimately. And ultimately, I'm here to be united with God forever, united with the source of all love, all beauty, all truth forever. I know I say this a lot, but I wanted to get not just in your head, but in your heart. Love Him. Psalm 98, the Lord has revealed to the nations His saving power, and He still continues to want to reveal to the nations His saving power generation after generation. And we're the ones called to do it. And the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 16 to 20. Jesus said to His disciples, "A little while and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while later, and you will see me." So some of His disciples said to one another, "What does this mean that He is saying to us, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me?' And because I'm going to the Father, what does all that mean?" So they said, "What is this little while of which He speaks? We don't know what He means." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask Him. You notice at the very beginning, it says some of His disciples said to one another. They weren't saying it to Christ. They were talking to one another. What does He mean by this? What does He mean by that? We don't know what He means, etc., etc. We do that instead of saying, "Jesus, this is my friend. Jesus, what do you mean we don't understand?" They can't do that. We're too proud. So you see the situation here. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask Him, so He said to them, "Are you discussing with one another what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy." Your grief will become joy. I think of so many, many people whose life seems to be in a particular way filled with grief. There's little to rejoice in. Most of us have a mix of both. But I want you to take a look at what Jesus promises. He says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn." We'll weep and mourn for our sins, for our loved ones, for the circumstances in the world, for our own bodies, with afflictions. There's all kinds of ways in which we suffer. And He says, "You will weep and mourn while it looks like everyone around you is rejoicing and happy and things are just going their way." Don't ever think that that's the truth. It's not. It just feels that way because life is so dark for me at this moment or that moment. But it's not. God sees everything. He knows everything. He knows the intentions of your heart. And while we do succumb, and we all do, to weeping and mourning, the death of loved ones, makes sense. Of course we would do it. Sometimes weeping and mourning because nothing works right, nothing goes right. There couldn't be a God who would let this happen or that happen. Against all odds, trust Him, because He says very clearly, "You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. That's his promise. So all of you who listen to this program, who are suffering right now, in perhaps great grief right now, God weeps with you in your sorrow, in your tragedy, in your loss of one kind or another. He weeps with you. You are not alone. He doesn't stand aloof. He weeps with you. But he also makes you a promise. And the promise is that your sorrow will be turned into joy. Don't ever doubt that. Hang on to it. Don't ever doubt. Or if you do doubt, just tell Jesus, I'm sorry I'm doubting you, but this is a hard day. He'll understand. We're going to celebrate the Feast of the Ascension in just a couple of days. This is when Jesus leaves his apostles and he takes them with him part way, and then he begins to ascend into heaven. Can you imagine what that must have been like for them? Can you imagine? We're going to celebrate that feast. I want you to put yourself wherever you think you are when I do the readings tomorrow for Sunday. Put yourself wherever you think you might be, whoever is reacting or handling one aspect or another of this great ascent into heaven that Jesus does. Take a look at yourself and say, where would I be in this picture? I'm a follower of Christ, but where would I be in this kind of picture? Would I be there? Would I be watching? Would I be seeking to do what God wants? Where would I be at this time? I want you to look at the Feast of the Ascension as a chance for you to say, the Lord has ascended into heaven to make a place for me. For all people, but in particular, he's ascended into heaven to prepare a place for me. Am I living my life knowing that he loves me that much? Am I living my life knowing that he forgives my sin? Am I living my life open to the love that he wants to pour out on me so that I may become by his grace, light in the darkness? Am I ready for that? I really urge you to prepare yourself for the feast this Sunday, the Feast of the Ascension. Make your heart ready. Let's see what it is that God wants to say to you. There'll be more on this later, so you can jot down what you think the Lord is asking of you or giving you, what the Lord wants of you, but what he wants of all of us overall is that we go out and proclaim the gospel by the way we live. May God lead you and guide you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.